Now it's time for our scripture reading. Our scripture is in the New Testament, Luke chapter 16, verse 13. That's Luke 16, verse 13. No servant can have two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and manna.
Have you ever missed an opportunity? An opportunity to maybe make a windfall of money. Opportunity to, I'm not going to say get rich, but come into more wealth. The word in Greek is kairos. And kairos means opportunity. Now, kairos is the name of one of the Greek gods. You know, if you think of, I'm going to get them mixed up if I start, so I'll just stick with the one I've got. I've got Roman and Greek gods mixed up. But Kairos, he was an interesting-looking guy. He had wings on his back, and he had wings on his feet, and he always ran everywhere really fast. And he didn't wear anything, and all he had was one little tuft of hair up here. In front. And the idea is that as he runs by, you've got to see him coming, turn around and grab the opportunity, otherwise it's going to get away from you and you can't ever catch it once it goes past. You know, a more usable definition for kairos is a God-appointed moment in time. You know, we all have been given opportunities for things. This morning, we're going to look at a parable. And this, the individual in the parable was given an opportunity, but he didn't use it correctly. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your guidance. Father, I ask that you touch my lips this morning and let only your words leave them. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. This parable is in the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 16. But let me set it up for you. Jesus has been with He's out teaching like he does all the time. And he was in a group that included Pharisees, many Pharisees, and tax collectors, and sinners. And so he starts telling parables. And he starts with the parable of the lost sheep. We've all heard that one. The shepherd goes and gets his sheep, one of the 99. And then he tells the parable of the lost coin, the woman who loses a coin and cleans her house and finds the coin. Then he tells the parable that we call the prodigal son. We know that's, you know, that story, the son begs his father for his inheritance, and he goes and he spends it all, comes home and is accepted by his father. And there's more to that story, but that's another sermon. And then we get to chapter 16. And it says, he also said to his disciples. So he continues teaching. Now, who's present while he's doing this teaching? Who's present? Jesus is teaching. Who's he talking to? Pharisees, disciples, who else? Sinners, tax collectors. Sound like he's talking to us, maybe? Some of us may be disciples. We're all sinners. Let's look at what he said. We're going to look at it, and then we will break it down and explain it. Book of Luke, chapter 16. And I'm going to be honest with you here. I'd forgotten this passage was here. I was looking for a parable, and this one, I was like, what is that one? It's not one that I've ever heard a sermon on. There was a certain rich man, verse 1 of chapter 16, who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. In other words, I don't work, don't want to go work, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down, and quickly write 50. Then he said to another, this is verse 7, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill, and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of the world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves. Although we're going to stop at verse 8. We'll get back to 9 in a second. We'll 9 and finish it up. That's where the parable ends at verse 8. The rest of it is an explanation. So what happens? What happens in this story? To put it in modern terms, there's a farmer who has a manager. The farmer goes out of town. The manager has been taking care of his property. And he's been cheating the farmer. He's been stealing a little bit of corn. He's been stealing a little bit of soybeans. Maybe a little bit of hay. He's been stealing away whatever they're farming. Just a little bit here or there. Not dealing, cheating on the money. And the farmer comes back and says, I heard bad things about you. Let's look at your books. Let's see what you got. And you're getting tossed anyway, but let's look at it. And so the manager goes to everybody that owes the farmer something, one by one. Says, what do you owe the farmer? I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to lose my means. So since I'm about to lose, let me help you out. And then when I get thrown out, I can go work with you because I'm going to help you out. This is what he's thinking. And so he says, you owe 1,000 tons of corn. Yeah, make it 500. We'll just, You owe 1,000 tons of soybeans. Yeah, make it 80. I'm helping you out. You don't owe him, and we'll just take care of things over here. And he gets away with it. And then the farmer says, good job. You were shrewd. You dealt harshly. Now, this is a strange parable, isn't it? And most parables that we look at, especially the last three, well, that's God. God is like the Father in the God's the shepherd. God hunts for us like we're the lost coin. We're the prodigal son. We can't look at this parable like that. This one's different. This parable we have to take as a big picture. Because we can't look at God as commending being shrewd, being unjust, cheating. God wouldn't commend that, and he doesn't. With this parable, that's the story. It continues. The explanation starts in verse 9. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. For when you fail, you may receive it into an everlasting home. Now, what is mammon? Anybody know? Anybody have any idea what mammon is? Well, it's only used 4 times in the Bible. 3 times in this passage. We've only got to 1. 3 times in this passage and once in the book of Matthew. Is it wealth? It's used in this case to mean the personification of wealth. The clearest definition is in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 24. And it's very similar, but as we look at the previous passage, is it? Very similar to the one that was read for our scripture. It says, no one can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But this comes in the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 19, we start talking about laying up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, and lay up treasures verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It talks about the lamp of the eye, and lamp is the eye of the body is the eye. And then it says the verse that we just read. So it's talking about your treasures of earth. So mammon would be money, riches. Back to Luke 16. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous money. Mammon. Unrighteous means, essentially. That when you fail, you may receive... they may receive you into an everlasting home. Basically, he's saying, if you use your money to pad what you've got here on earth, it's going to be your everlasting home. It's about what we... This passage is about where our hearts are. Verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Pretty simple there. If we can't take care of the little things, there's no way we can take care of the big things. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's just an interesting passage, isn't it? Where do you spend your time? Is it serving God? Or is it working for yourself? Where are you laying up treasures, as it says in Matthew? Are we spending our time taking care of earthly things? Or heavenly things? Now the Pharisees, verse 14, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. They basically despised Jesus, because where was their treasure? Where were they? They were padding their pockets. They were putting their work into things of the earth, not into things of God. Jesus then says to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Do we know how to skirt around the rules to make this look better? If I just do this way, it doesn't look quite so bad. Do you know how to do that? I know how to do that. The question is, do I do that? No. It's not hard to think, well, if I do this just like this, it looks better. Or if I do things like this, it makes me look better over him. What is your motives when you do things? Are you doing things? Are you walking through life thinking about what God wants or what I want? Whom do you serve? Do you serve God? Or do you serve mammon, yourself? This parable clearly says that if we do things to serve ourselves, there is no heavenly eternal reward. That's not what I want. I want to be in heaven. In fact, I'm sure each of you want the same thing. So you have to ask yourself, how are you doing things? To help yourself or to further God's kingdom? Because those are really the only two options. There's either God or mammon. You can't sit on the fence. It's either one or the other. It's my desire to serve God. And I pray that it's each of yours as well today. In Jesus' name, amen.